Welcome back to Family Matters, Mask's radio show. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. We're in our 20th year, over 45,000 families. We have a helpline, we're a referral agency for all mental health issues, for addictions, for all ages, all stages. We offer support groups for parents of any age child that may be struggling with any mental health issue, including the addictions. Our number is 718-758-0400. You can call us from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, all day Friday, to 2 hours before Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, till 11, all day Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Write down our number. Maybe you'll need it. Maybe you need it for a friend, a sibling, maybe someone you sit next to in shul. 718-758-0400. Today I was at the United Task Force meeting. We meet 35 agencies all together in the same room, and we brainstorm on different ideas that we can help Klal Yisrael with whatever they're facing in the mental health issues. The task force is Fagi Zackheim and Dr. Moshe Bieberfeld facilitates the meetings. They are the chair people, and they have been over 20 years meeting every other month, talking about issues that go on in the from community, where we can help each other, all the agencies together and separately, where we network, where we offer resources to each other. And today we had an amazing presentation by Eli Shapiro from Digital Citizenship that I interviewed just a few weeks ago on technology. And in the summer, the task force does a conference upstate New York. We always have over 300 women come together in a bungalow, and we bring speakers. And this year, it was about technology. And as a result of that conference, I am happy to report that there are three amazing women in that colony where they decided to put together an organization called MUST. And I would like to welcome tonight Michal Klerer. I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us here tonight.
Thank you, Ruchama. Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to just mention that Michal has Nechi Eisenstadt and Sabrina Septimus, who together they decided they really need to do something on a grassroots level. I remember 20 years ago when I started MASK, I was thinking today when you presented to the task force and listening to you, that was me 20 years ago when I presented in front of a group of professionals at OHEL. They had a big meeting there, and we talked about drugs and alcohol 20 years ago with Yanki Horowitz and others. So kol hakavod for you and all that you're doing, and if any MASK can help you in any way, we would like to be of help. But let's get right to it. For our listeners, can you tell us what does MUST stand for?
Sure. So MUST, M-U-S-T, stands for Mothers Unite to Stall Technology. And the words of the title are actually quite important, because You could see that we could have used the word STOP technology, which, you know, some people think that we can possibly do, but in reality, it's not something that can actually happen. So we chose to use the word stall technology for a very, very specific purpose, because that really is our goal, is not to stop because it's not realistic, but rather to hold off.
Amazing. Great name. Really a great name. Can you tell me, since the summer, since that meeting, can you tell me what have you been doing with MUST? Where have you been going with it, and what is your mission statement? What would
Sure.
you like to see happen?
Sure. So as you mentioned, in the summer, a couple of mothers got together, and you know, as a result of the conference and what the topic was, and we were helping to organize the conference, we came up with this idea and decided to present it to Dr. Pelkowitz, who was extremely supportive and said that he's actually been recommending our mission for years to people. And I'll tell you a little bit about what it is. Our goal really is to, like I said, stall technology, but the way that we want to do it is that we want it to come from the mothers. We would like mothers to empower each other and get together on a class-by-class basis, and make a pact with each other that they're going to hold off for as long as possible from getting their children devices. We also are asking them to keep their children from starting group chats between each other. There's a lot of cyberbullying that goes on these group chats, and not much good comes out of it when the kids are on group chats. So that's the basic idea. And since the summer, when we started with a couple of us mothers, as soon as we presented it, it's funny that we said we started with three, but now we are a network of so many mothers. We got together a week after the summer when we all came back from the mountains. We got together around my dining room table, and the room was full of people saying, what can I do? I want to do it in my child's school. I want to do it in my child's school. And since then, we have school leaders in all of the different schools in Brooklyn, as well as several schools in the five towns. We have one school in Los Angeles, another school in Muncie, who are getting involved. And these school leaders are contacting mothers in different classes, who we call the class ambassadors, and presenting them with either, if they want, a text to put out on the mother's chat to make this suggestion, or they can make up their own text or however they want to, you know, voice it. And mothers from each of the classes are now in the process of presenting the idea to their classes. I would say there were up to about 25 or 30 classes that are already registered in the program, and many more that are in the process, because as you can understand, when it's a group conversation and you're presenting it to 20 or 30 other mothers besides yourself, there's a little bit of back and forth, like, my child already has a Kindle, can I still be a part of the program? And it's a lot of back and forth, and let's try to make a pact together, let's try to get together and save our kids, because we've all seen as mothers that nothing else is really working to protect our kids. You know, the schools try to make rules, it's very, very hard to enforce rules about technology when the kids go home and the schools don't really have any control over what's going on at home. So when it comes from the mothers and you're empowering yourselves to actually do something for the kids when nobody else can do it, it's incredibly effective. And at this point, what we're in the middle of doing now is really a lot of networking and presenting to classes and having feedback from them, and slowly but surely having daily we get emails and registrations of new classes that want to join the program. Just as a very important piece, for right now, we are gearing the program towards elementary school students. It seems to be, at least in our neighborhood, that it's not really an option to have the full program in the high schools, because many, many high school students already have personal devices. And the goal of the program is for the students to have no personal devices. That means not a smartphone, not an iPod, not an iPad of their own. Because what educated parents know is that the same things that an iPhone or an Android smartphone can do, so can any one of these pods or iPads, except that they don't have cell phone service. They can actually do all the same things that a smartphone could do. So the goal is to have no personal devices for all of these ages through elementary school.
So let me ask you, excuse me, yeah. I want to ask you then, What happens when a girl in the class comes home and says, Ma, I'm in seventh grade, and I say, Ma, all my friends have a phone, and you're not in that school yet. All my friends have a phone. And the truth is today, we know that surveys have been taken in the religious from communities, modern Orthodox, Chabad, and it has been stated that it's a very young age, 10 and a half years old, I think it was, where they say most of the kids at 10 and a half get a phone. So what you're trying to do is that when the girl goes home to the mother's going to then be able to say, we're not giving phones as a class. Play it out with me, please.
Sure. So in reality, sadly, there are some seventh and eighth grades and even, unfortunately, some sixth grades that it's too late for them to join this sort of a program because it's already been given. The devices have already been given to these kids. So number one, that brings us back to Dr. Eli Shapiro. He is a great address to give these kids education and give the parents education about safe use of the devices. But in terms of those classes for our program, what we've suggested, because your question is excellent, what we've suggested for some of these, let's say, just for an example, the seventh grade that you're talking about, if let's say 20 kids out of 30 already have devices, it's not realistic because the only way that this program will work is if the majority or more, ideally, are on board. And if too many already have devices, so our suggestion is you do the next best thing for your class. Whatever it is that the class isn't in yet, catch on to that and grab it and hold on for as long as you can and stall in that area. So let's say the kids all have already iPods but not iPhones. So you make a pact as a class, let's hold off from getting them iPhones for as long as possible. And if they already have iPhones, so you come up with the next best thing and you say, you know what? Let's have that none of them are on social media. There is no Instagram or Snapchat or any of those things. Let's, as a class, decide that our kids are not going to be allowed to have those apps. Because if nobody in the class has Snapchat, then the kids aren't going to be like, it's not fair. My friend has it. Everybody has it. So if you figure out where your pact could be and you make the pact wherever your class is at right now. And that seems to be working. A lot of the parents are very happy with that suggestion because anything that you could accomplish is beneficial. And really, what the long-term goal is that if we are presenting this initiative to classes as young as pre-1A and first grade, which is exactly what we're doing, then our hope is that when these pre-1A and first grade kids hit eighth grade and they've had this pact and this must initiative going since they're young, these mothers will be able to hold off throughout elementary school. And they will be able to be seventh graders without smartphones and without smart devices because we started them so young and the culture in the class is not for technology. The culture in the class is that they still play sports and they do, you know, activities as opposed to sitting on their phones. And hopefully it will stay that way, which I believe will put the high schools into a much better position to be able to create whatever rule their high school, you know, agrees to. Right now, it's very difficult for the high schools to make any sort of rules because if all their eighth graders are already coming in with devices or coming in with smartphones, if the high school is going to make a rule, no smartphones, it's almost laughable because the kids that have them, we all know how difficult it is to take them away. So the hope is that there's a big picture here that whichever classes we can start out young can carry through for even a longer period than the ones that we have registering now.
So, Michal, what about the parents using their iPhones in front of the children all during dinner, all during in the car, while they're driving, when they're in the supermarket, wherever they may be? Is that also going to change with the parents in front of their children?
So that's a very good question. And actually, it leads me on to another issue that I didn't yet address, which is parents' cell phones for their children. In other words, what about, you know, just one step back, what about if my fifth grader, who we did make a pact for, asks me, Ma, can I use your phone to text my friends, to do whatever it is that you don't want them doing on their own personal device? So we've suggested, as part of the MUST initiative, that that if the children will be using a family device or a mother's device, the device must be filtered and it has to be closely monitored. And the child may only be using it with the parent's permission. And that's just piece number one. Piece number two, in terms of your question, I feel like if parents are smart and they see that they're able to do something for their children and they want their child to have a future of not, you know, sucked into technology and to be able to know how to communicate with others, that hopefully the parents will pick up on the nuance that if they model good behavior, then their children will know what to do for the future when they do have a phone. And I hope that parents will take these initiatives and say, I'm doing something for my kid, but let me do something for myself. Because really that in turn is doing something for my child also. You're telling your kid that you don't want them to have a device. There's many good reasons why a child shouldn't have a device, and some of those reasons may not apply to adults, but there are so many reasons why adults should be limiting their use of their devices also. And hopefully by raising the awareness of devices in general, I hope that people will you know, address it internally also to their own technology use.
Yes, so I just want to mention that I made a note to say that there are four negatives when it comes to technology with children. Technology changes the way children, their brain. Technology changes the way children feel, because using technology can affect a child's ability to empathize. Technology can put privacy and safety at risk. You know, improper technology, a kid is exposed to numerous risks when on technology. And another one would be more technology is less physical activity, obesity, etc. Mm-hmm. So there are real things that we need to consider that our kids are getting affected by, and that's besides by going on and putting in the word and by mistake ending up on a site that's terribly inappropriate and or pornography, by error has damaged thousands and thousands of lives. Thousands and thousands. Guard Your Eyes and another amazing organization. I mean, I can't begin to tell you young children that are exposed, whether it's through, you know, Facebook, cyberbullying, pornography. I'd like you to talk about, you know, going on social media and how that, you know, that affects children from a very young age, that they cannot be successful in their lives because of something that was imprinted on their brain when they were younger, or even young marrieds that are facing issues with pornography today. So let's go back to MUST. And what would you like to say to principals? Speak to the principals directly now. Give them a message of what they can do to bring it into their school. How do they reach you? Do you have a website? What's the contact number? Is there a fee to have MUST come in and start this with the PTA or the school? Can you please let my listeners know?
Absolutely. So first of all, we do have a website. It's mothersuniteforkids.org, the number four, mothersuniteforkids.org. It has all of our information on there about how the program works. It offers you to become a class ambassador on the website and to register your class, and it has all the guidelines and frequently asked questions, and it actually has links to many articles, you know, relating to all the things that you were just mentioning about how our kids are affected by technology, both on social media as well as being exposed to pornography and other inappropriate sites. It talks about cyberbullying. We have many articles on there that they could look at. And in terms of us connecting with the schools, we can absolutely be contacted. We have an email address, which is mothersuniteforkids, same as the website, at gmail.com. That's mothersunite4kids@gmail.com. We are happy to speak to anyone that's interested in the program. The goal of the program is, though, that it comes from the mothers as opposed to from the schools. So the hope is that we're contacted by mothers. We're happy to speak to schools as well, of course, but we feel that the program will be way more effective if it is, if it's presented internally from the mother's standpoint rather than the school. Because if it comes from the school, it's automatically going to be seen as they're trying to tell us another rule. We don't want it to be from the school. We want it to be that the mothers decided they want to do something to save their kids and to protect their kids and to allow them to continue being kids until they until they're old enough to be more mature. You know, I don't think anybody whose child, who's 9, has a smartphone, whose child who's 10 or 11 is happy that their child has a smartphone. We all want our kids to be kids. So I think that if the initiative comes from the mothers, that's really where it's going to work. And we are happy to talk to anyone, and you can contact us either by email or on the website, and we would love to speak to anybody. We're happy to come into the schools to speak to the PTA also, anything.
Right, so the PTA then approached the school, and then at that point you'll arrange with the school to come in and present. Are you doing any presentations other than through the parents?
As of now, we are very, very grassroots. And our real modus operandi is to reach out to mothers and have them reach out to other mothers and have it come like very, very much from inside out.
Okay, that's really how I started MASC 20 years ago. Out of my living room with 27 other mothers came to a meeting. So, kol hakavod, we have on with us Michal Klerer from MASC. And I do want to mention Michal, that Michal works with a group of women, Nechi Eisenstadt, Sabrina Septimus, and a group of other women trying to help mothers understand that they can push off the idea of having their children get cell phones at a very young age. Michal, I'm just wondering if we can talk a minute about, in all your meetings, have there been discussions about the cyberbullying with the moms?
Absolutely, absolutely. This conversation actually we talk about it a lot, the mothers, all of us. It's not even just the group of the people who organize MASC. Anytime it comes up, a mother has what to say about it because everybody has experienced something with relation to these, to the cell phones. And it's not only cell phones, it's all devices that we're talking about. So just one example that came up just last night, a friend of mine told me over that she held off getting her daughter a device and her daughter was left out of many, many, many get-togethers. You know, every time the girls got together, they texted and told anybody who was on their group chat. But anybody who wasn't, they said they don't have a device, so they won't know about it. And when her daughter asked one of her friends, who actually was a good friend of hers, and she said to her, you know, why are you leaving me out? Like, why can't I be part of this? And she said, well, if you choose these words, if you choose to exclude yourself, how do you expect us to include you? Now, what a painful thing for a kid to hear who is actually listening to her mother who says that she can't have a device. And now she's getting it thrown back in her face. Now that you can't have a device, you can't be a part of our get-togethers. And that's just one of so many, many, many terrible stories that I've been hearing. And this goes down to unfortunately, fifth grade. There are fifth graders that have chats and fourth graders that have chats. And it's just, it's heartbreaking, which is why when we started MASC, it was the main gist of it was that we would not have devices. Nobody would have personal devices, none of the kids. But very, very quickly, we transformed you know, we added in the fact that the kids should not be on group chats because parents were calling us literally crying and saying, we love what you're doing, but I'm begging you, please add this piece in because my child was destroyed. You know, there were people whose children, they were popular in fifth grade, and then in sixth grade when the kids started getting iPods, suddenly they were now the nobodies in the class because they didn't have a device. They were no longer popular.
You know, I want to talk about the filters that you mentioned. Digital citizenship, Eli Shapiro, who's been on our show, like I mentioned before, presented today. And he said that out of 1,443 respondents in grades 5 to 8 from Modern Orthodox, that 62% owned an internet-capable device, 84% eighth graders. But the number that's really so difficult to, in this day and age, to you know, see that he told me that I see it here in print, is 28% only have filters on them. And that'll be a whole nother show about talking about filters and continue speaking about technology. It's very, very critical that we must take serious that we need to have filters on our technology, whatever it may be, whether it's your phone or your iPod, you must have filters today because innocently one can fall into sites that can be just ruin one's life. Michal, I want to thank you tonight for coming on with us. I want to wish you much hatzlacha. And for anyone that wants to reach Michal, you can go on to her website. Michal, why don't you give your information, please, again?
Sure. It's mothersuniteforkids.org, the number 4, mothersuniteforkids.org. And our email address is mothersuniteforkids@gmail.com, also with the number 4, mothersuniteforkids@gmail.com. Rucham, I just wanted to add one thing about what you're talking about, the 28% that are filtered, which means that that's a huge number that are not filtered. I think a very, very, very big piece of that is a lack of parent education, because I believe that if parents knew the dangers, there's no question that 99% of them would be filtering their kids' phones. And I think that just a lot of people are uneducated, and that it has to be a very important piece of people's lives that they must educate themselves about technology, because otherwise their children will not be protected.
Yes, thank you. MASC is going out there as well to educate families. You can reach MASC, anybody that wants to reach Michal, please go on to our website, or you can call MASC 718-758-0400. I want to thank you, Yasha Koach, to all of you. And if there's anything we can do at MASC to help your organization, we're here for you.
Thank you so much for being on tonight.
And I want to introduce now Eli Perlman from Madrigos, LCSW.
Thank you for having me, Ruchama.